Hey guys, today we continue our series, Bigger Than You. And today we're going to be talking about running the race and how the race is marked out for us. Tune in and check out how you can run your race. Today's going to be a very special day, but who am I? My name is Paul Zepeda. I'm your ministry operations pastor. I serve in several different areas of the church. You're like, I still don't know who you are. That's okay. I get to say this. People would say I'm like their leader or their boss, but I like to say I serve them. I serve in several different areas in our church, in our prison ministry, our Westside missions, internships, student ministry, facility, security, just to name a few. There's some incredible leaders there that I get to serve. But I've also been married for 29 years to my college sweetheart, Tressa. I love you. You're my partner in crime. I've known you for such a long time. You know what I'm saying? That rhymes. Hey, I've got two incredible kids with Tressa. We've got JP and Juliana. Pray for me, y'all. I love them. JP is eating me out of the house, and Juliana is buying beauty products, and I did not know this was a thing. They're all over the bathroom, but I love her to death. She's in kids ministry right now. Let's give it up for kids ministry. I love our kids ministry. Kids Unlimited, they're incredible. Well, hey, today we're in a series called Bigger Than You. Look to your neighbor and say, bigger than you. I don't know if you've heard this before, but people like to say, life is like, do not say box of chocolates. Life is like a marathon. And listen, the longer I've been in this life, in my number of years that I've been on this earth, I feel like it's more like a series of races. And just like a marathon, a race has a start. It has a beginning, it has a course, and then it has a finish line. And a lot of people like to run. Have you noticed that? And some of these races that we face in life are like our runners, right? You're a runner. You're made to run. And some of these races may feel short, like a 40-yard dash. Some of them may feel like a grueling ultra marathon. Some of them may feel like a 400-meter sprint or a fun run. I've done a fun run before. They ain't that fun. I did it. I crossed the finish line. Every race has a beginning. Every race has an end. You're in a race in your marriage. It has a beginning, and then till death do us part. You're in a race with your parenting. It has a beginning, and then at some point, you got to let them go and let them leave the house. Can I get an amen? And your parenting begins to look a little different then. You're still a parent, but your parenting comes to somewhat of an end. What about in a job? You had a beginning. Some of y'all may have faced an unexpected end. What about in your health? What about you're waiting for that job? Maybe you're waiting for that promotion. You're in a race. Let me ask you this. Do we have any runners in here? Do we have any runners in here? Okay, like five hands went up. I just told you you're in a race. Every hand should go up. More hands went up. Thank you. Some of y'all still going, I don't understand. I don't like to run. But let me tell you something where I get this from. And maybe before I get there, maybe your hand didn't go up because you feel like you're not running. Maybe you walk jogging. Maybe you're running at a slower pace. Don't be hitting people next to you right now. We're made to run. How do I know? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us this, and read along with me. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us run. You were made to run. This message is titled, Run Your Race. And as you run your race, that means that the the race, again, has a beginning and an end. That means it's marked out for us, like the author tells us. And God is the person who marked it out. He's the one who set the course for your race. Do you understand the race? Better yet, do you understand your race? You are made to run. Point number one is this, for my note takers. Run with the runners. Run with the runners, not the people who are walk jogging. Man, run with the other people who are running. Run with people who are running their race. Hebrews 12 tells us this. You've got to run. But it also tells us that there's a therefore. If there's a therefore, there's a before. And what comes before chapter 12 is chapter 11 in Hebrews. And in chapter 11, it tells us about some people who ran. And they ran a race. They were what called the heroes of our faith. They sit at what most theologians call the hall of faith. It's kind of like the hall of fame for believers. These are people who ran a race. Moses, the person who brought the Ten Commandments, who took the Israelites just to the edge of the promised land. He didn't go in. We also have Abraham, the father of our faith. We have Sarah, the mother of the Israelite nation. You have David, the slayer of giants, is mentioned in this hall of faith. They're part of the great cloud of witnesses that are before us. And I believe that many of them are cheering you on as you run your race. And as you run your race, it's like they have the baton and they're waiting for you to pick it up and you begin to run your race. They're cheering you on because they've run it before you. How are you running? I also want to point out that these heroes of our faith, not one of them is perfect. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Abraham lied. Sarah even doubted. How are you running? Don't dare to compare. I think what we can learn from them is that you got to run your race at your pace. You got to run your race in such a way that you recognize you're here to build your faith as you face this course. How are you running? Are you running with faith? Are you running alone? I have a track story for you. When I was in high school, I believe we have a photo, my dad would take my brothers and I running. I'm the one in the gray. And my dad was a big time runner, man. He was a marathon runner. He would run fun runs and he wanted us to run with him. You may look at me and go, man, you ain't built for running. I told you we're all supposed to be running. I try to tell my dad that. Those are my brothers. They're not my kids, okay? And we would run every Saturday, man. He would pull up at the track, and I knew the drill. Get out of the car, warm up, stretch. Then he'd hit the track with us and go, all right, boys, start running. And my dad would start running. And as my dad kind of got out of eyesight, the bend, and far enough away that he couldn't yell at me, I began to walk. And my dad would come around the track and he would kind of, I could hear his pace behind me, right? His footsteps. And he was speeding up behind me and he would go, come on, Paul, run. Come on, Paul, pick up your feet. Come on, Paul, start running. And he would lap me. And he'd come back around. Come on, Paul, run. Come on, Paul, you could do this. Come on, Paul, your brothers are out here. Run with us. Run with us. He would do this lap after lap after lap, and he would lap me. I knew we were coming to the end when I could hear my dad's footsteps not be so fast, but they would kind of slow down. He was actually slowing down for me. Because you see on that 5'7" frame on a good day, he was pushing my 6'225" frame by coming up behind me and putting his hands on my shoulders. And he began to push me. Instead of pushing me down or away or to the side, he pushed me by speaking to me. My dad's no longer here. But there are many times I hear his voice in the races that I face in life. Come on, Paul, run. Come on, Paul, you can finish. It hurts me to know he's not here, but I love that I have the memory of his voice. But what hurts me more is that I remember being a selfish 16-year-old. You ever been there? And as my dad would push me around the track, you know what I begin to do? I begin to lean on my dad. I think he knew, but he didn't stop. He would keep pushing step after step. And my dad wasn't running my race for me. He was running the race with me. He was encouraging me. He was telling me I can do this, that I got this, that I can finish, that I can push through. How are you running your race? Do you have people in your life who are encouraging you to run? Do you hear that voice when it gets hard and you want to quit and say you're done? Because I think that some people in your life, they are meant to be the pace setters. They're meant to be the encouragers. They're meant to be the coaches. Some of you right now don't even recognize it. Students, if you're coming to U26, you need to get a car full of students with you. You need to run to the conference and get them here because you're going to see some life change happen in your friends' lives. But what about the people that serve week in and week out, man? They serve in ministry here. They're part of a life group here. They lead a life group. Are you involved in a life group? Do you have anybody speaking to you, encouraging you? What about just standing at the doors or in our parking lot or serving in our incredible kids ministry? Those people are there to encourage you as you run your race. You're not meant to do it alone. I think of people here that are serving, like Miss Susie. Miss Susie is in the front row right now. I hardly ever see you sitting down. She's usually out in the atrium. And for several years, she stood out there in incredible knee pain, sometimes with a cane. And you know what she was doing out there? She was praying over you. She was praying over me. She was praying over seats in this auditorium. And then some people came around her and started running alongside of her and serving on that team. And they said, Miss Susie, we want to help you pay for some knee surgery. And now she stands out on that atrium, pain-free, cane-free, still praying over people, week in, week out. I love you, Miss Susie. You encourage me. I think of my friend who's become more of a spiritual father in the absence of my father, my friend Walt. As a matter of fact, recently he has started to tell me, hey, I want to call you son. Will you call me dad? Walt attends our church. Walt is also facing stage 4 cancer. And as I've gone to the hospital to visit him, or I check in on him with a phone call and say, hey, dad, how you doing? How's your day? Oh, let me tell you, son. Let me tell you how my day was. Stage 4 cancer. With exuberance and excitement, he goes, man, I got to talk to my doctor today about Jesus. I got to tell the technician today who came in to check in on me and check my vitals, hey, do you know that Jesus loves you? And they said, yeah, I kind of know Jesus. Well, hey, I want you to really know Jesus. Can I tell you about Jesus? Although I call Walt and I check in on Walt and he says, hey, I'm kind of tired when I ask him how he's doing. He always says and finishes with this. The most important thing that I do right now, Paul, the rest of my life, is I tell other people about Jesus. I love you, Walt. Thank you for living out, being a faithful disciple of Christ and encouraging me. And I hope that that encourages you. I can think of story after story of people in this church that are running with runners. God doesn't want you to minimize the difficulty of what you're facing. He wants you to recognize how big and how great he is, that he is bigger and he is greater. And as you run the race set for you, you've got people that can come around you to encourage you. And you ain't walk jogging anymore. Now you're running. So here's my question for you. Maybe you're not convinced that you need to start running. Well, then who's going to ever run with you if you act like that? You got to be open to it. Who is running with you? Who has permission to challenge you? Who can push you when you're tired? Who knows that you're even struggling with something right now? Maybe you live by this. Man, I'm fine all by myself. You're isolated. You're insulated with your isolation. And I'll tell you right now, insulation is where races go to die. God never intended you to run alone. Run with the runners. Also this is point number two, run with purpose. Man, Hebrews 12, it tells us, man, the race is marked out for us. If the race is marked out for us, that means that there was a designer behind the race course. So God knows what you're going to face. He knows when it starts. He knows what it's like in the middle, and he knows how it's going to end. So run with this purpose that God has designed for you. Every course has a destination. God knows when the race will end, but every destination requires purpose and focus. And listen, most people don't quit because they're weak. They quit because they lose sight of why they're running. And the author tells us how we should run while we're running. So please take note of this. You should run, it tells us here, with your eyes fixed on Jesus. Not your circumstances, not your distractions, not your issues, not your pain. Don't look to the side. Don't look behind you. Press forward ahead with your eyes fixed on Jesus. How are you running? It tells us how to run here, but how are you running? It also tells us this, to throw off everything, not some things, everything, not one thing, several things. Throw off everything that hinders you, because some of us are running with excess. I didn't say weight. We're running with excess baggage. And it's something that we were never meant to carry. Recently, I got to watch my son. We're going to watch a video of him perform at a lineman challenge. You ever seen these? These guys are running. He's a defensive lineman. He's also a linebacker in training. And he's here in the gray right here. He's about to switch out and run his leg of the race.
There you go, JP. Come on, JP.
I love that. It just occurred to me in the last service when we did this, that's my voice encouraging my son. JP, I hope you know I believe in you. I love you. I want to encourage you. JP, this is called a trap bar. It's meant to work out your trapezoids. No, JP, your trapezius muscles. I trip them up every time with my dad jokes. But JP, how much weight is on here?
About 100 pounds.
Yeah. How much were you running with?
100 pounds.
Now listen, he can carry the weight for a little while. Matter of fact, I'll even argue with you that it can make him a little bit stronger. But don't live by the adage, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Because if you continue to run with excess weight that is entangling you, the sin that traps you, it's going to mess you up in the trap bar. Eventually, you're going to trip. You're going to fall. You can't carry it. You were never meant to carry the weight that Jesus carried on the cross for you. Your sin, your hurt, your shame, your comparison. You've got to throw it off. So JP, let's take the weight down. He's like, thank God, literally. And let's throw that weight off. Thank you. Ooh, JP. How long can you carry the weight? For a little while, yes. For some of you, you've been carrying it too long. You can't run forever with the weight. It is hindering you in your run, not your walk with Jesus, your running with Jesus. Go ahead, JP, pick it up. How much more freer can he run now? How much easier is it now? How much easier is it for you and I when we take the weight, we say no more to this. No more to this anxiety. No more to this flesh. No more to the thing that's holding me back. No more to this insecurity. No more to this hurt. No more to this pain. I'm done. Because it's already been done for me on the cross. Take the weight and throw it off. Thank you, JP.
Yes, sir.
Give it up for JP. You got to lighten the load. What are you carrying that God never asked you to carry? Throw it off. Run lighter. Run freer. Run with purpose, like you're meant to win. There's a story I want to share with you. It's from ancient Greece, and it's where we get the word marathon from. In 490 BC, the legend has it that there was a battle for the city of Marathon. And a Greek messenger named Pheidippides, do not name your kid Pheidippides, okay? Pheidippides was the most able-bodied person after this battle. And they say, listen, man, we know you're tore up from the floor up, but we need you to get the message to the city of Athens that we won. Pheidippides, battle-scarred probably, already tired, who knows how many days they were fighting, begins to run with purpose. I need to tell the city to stand down. We're good. We won. He ran 26.2 miles, is what legend tells us. And he ran with the distractions away from him, clear focus, going towards the city. Can you imagine when he finally saw the silhouette of the city on the hill? His pace probably quickened like most marathon runners. He became hyper-fixated, probably got a second wind. And he ran harder and faster. I gotta tell him we won. I gotta tell him we're safe. I gotta tell him we're good. And as he crosses the finish line and they open the gates for him, legend tells us this, that with his last breath from his dying lungs, he cries out, Nike! Which was Greek for victory. It's actually pronounced Nike. And then he died. I'm less concerned with the brand and more concerned with the person of Jesus, who is the victor of my faith, the perfecter of my faith, the person who ran a perfect race before me, that is running with me, alongside me, before me. How are you running your race? Are you even running at all? Start running today. Get in the race. Don't isolate yourself. It's already been marked out for you, and what's waiting for you on the other side is community, friendships, relationship, encouragement, people to hear your burdens and help push you along the race track as you finish the race that God has set for you. Run your race. You're a runner. You are a runner. And you're meant to do this life of races with other people in community. When you run the race that God has set for you, do you know what you get to hear across the finish line? You get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what he says to us. So run with that victory in mind. Point number three is run with your victory in mind. Hebrews 12 says this, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There is victory in Jesus. He forgives us from all the sin that entangles us. When we throw it off, we're throwing it on him. He saw the other side. And you know what he saw when he endured the cross? He saw you. You're his victory. The salvation that he freely gives you. He saw you receiving him. That's why he did what he did. Can you run with victory in mind? Victory posture is what we see the runners have as they cross the finish line. Now listen, when I'm sitting on my couch watching the Boston Marathon or some Olympic runners run across the finish line, you watch what they did, very similar to Pheidippides. Their pace quickens, they lock on that finish line, and as they cross it, what do? Victory. Psychologists call that the victory posture. And they've recently begun to talk about this, that when people stand like this, something physiological begins to happen in their body. They feel calmer. They feel more confident. They feel like a winner. I see you do this week in and week out in this church. You have a posture of victory. And psychologists just catching up with what believers have known all along, that it's not my victory, it's his victory. It's the victory that he has in my life, that I can run my race as a victor because he is victorious. Scripture tells us over and over that we should raise our hands. Can you do that? Maybe you've never done that. Yet science is telling you it's good for you, but Scripture tells us it's good for us with him. Psalm 63:4 says this, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift my hands. Psalm 134:2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Lamentations 3:41 says, let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. When you lift your hands, you're surrendering to God. Surrender to him. And here's what he says he will do when you surrender to him as you run the race that he's marked out for you. Exodus 14:4, I will fight for you. Joshua 1:9, I will be with you wherever you go. John 14:27, I will give you peace. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. Psalm 34:17, I will deliver you from your troubles. Psalm 46:1, I will be your refuge and your strength. Church, stand right now and start giving him some praise and hold your hands high in victory and declare right now that anxiety doesn't win, that fear doesn't win, that yesterday doesn't win, the enemy doesn't win. I'm winning in my parenting, I'm winning in my marriage, I'm winning in my health, I'm winning in my relationships because he is the ultimate winner. Run with the runners. Run with the runners. Run with purpose and run with victory in mind with your hands held high. Let's praise him.
All right, church, I'm going to show you what we're going to sing. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. Sing that with me. So I'll stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. One more time, just you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. You may be seated.
Unlimited, we're going to just stay in this time of worship right now with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. We never want to leave a service without giving you the opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. And maybe for you, you just heard that message today and you've never even started your race with the Lord. But you've heard that message and you want to start living your life on purpose, for a purpose, because we truly believe that about you. that God sees you, He created you, He designed you, He knows you, He wants to run that race with you, He wants you to run your race. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And so if you're in here today and you want to leave here different, you don't want to leave the same way that you walked in, and you want to say, yeah, I want to start living my life for the Lord. I want to invite Jesus into my life. Then I'm going to lead out in a prayer in just a moment, and we're going to pray this prayer together as one big family, supporting those that are praying this prayer for the very first time. And so if that's you and you want to invite Jesus into your life right now, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I ask you right now that you, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I repent and say sorry. Please come into my life, dwell in my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you that I'm brand new in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If that's you and you just prayed that prayer, this is just between you and God, but I just want to ask you to take a bold step, a brave step. There's no one looking. But if that's you and you just gave your life to Jesus, would you just do me the honor right now and just put your hand up in the air so that I can see it? Keep those hands up high. I see that hand. I see it. I see it. I see it. Keep those hands up down here at the front. I see it. I see it. Keep those hands up high. I see those hands. I see those hands at the back. I see it. I see you. And hands going up all over this place. Keep your hands high. Is there anyone else that wants to say, yeah, that's me? I made that decision today. Online, you can put it in the text chat, or you can simply just put a hand raised. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you for all the decisions that took place in your house today. God, Lord, thank you that your word literally says their name is now written in the Lamb's book of life, and all of heaven is rejoicing over each and every single one of them right now. And so, Lord, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, Lord, and we just pray right now, God, that we will be inspired by the word that Pastor Paul preached today, that we will run our race, Lord God. We will get rid of the excess that you have not called us to carry, and that we will just run on purpose, and we will run with the runners. So lead us and guide us this week like only you can. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.